let's just look at these first four verses. We won't cover all of them this evening. We won't have time for that. But let's read the first four verses here, Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the snow, as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, we saw last week that this was a song that the Lord had given Moses. Moses was speaking here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and this is a song, beginning in verse 30, chapter 32, is a song, and it was given to witness against the children of Israel. We saw that there in verse 19 of chapter 31. Now write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouth, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So it was a witness, a song of witness against the children of Israel. And Moses had gathered the elders together, the officers, the officials together, and he rehearses this song and tells them to go back and teach it to the congregation. A witness against the children of Israel. It was a witness to them that they were never to leave the worship and the service of the living God and turn to idols. That's what this song is about. In chapter 31, we saw this last week there in verse 16. That's exactly what the Lord predicted that they would do. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. That prediction was made, and we know history tells the truth that that's what they did. They left the living God and went and worshipped dumb idols. And that's what this song here is concerning. There's never been a nation that had God so near as the children of Israel. He gave them His Word that He never gave any other nation. He gave them prophets to teach them. He gave them the priesthood to represent them before God. He gave them the offerings to atone for their sins. All the nations of the world had was the light of nature. But Israel had the living God among them in His Shekinah glory. No other nation ever abused their blessings and their privileges like the children of Israel did theirs. They sinned against God more than any other nation ever sinned against Him. And you know something? They suffered more than any other nation ever did because of their sins. And that's why the Lord wrote this song to them. When they did this, when they sinned like this and judgment came, He said, heaven is going to be a witness against you. And earth is going to be a witness against you. This was the most solemn thing when you put yourself in this situation and you go here to verse 1 and Moses is standing there in the midst of those group of elders and officials. And he looks up to heaven and he said, heaven, I call you to witness against this people if they ever leave the worship of God and turn to idols. And then he looks around him and says, earth, I call you to witness against this people if they ever leave the worship and service of God and turn to idols. That had to be a solemn time for these people. Knowing that heaven, who stood forever, and this earth that wouldn't change until the end of the world was going to be there to witness against them if they ever left the worship of the living God. They would certainly be without excuse. and heaven would bear witness against them. Here's how the Lord said it in the book of Isaiah chapter 1. This is the way He begins in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And He calls heaven to witness. He does this four times in the book of Deuteronomy. And other places in the Scripture, you can see that He calls heaven to witness against the children of Israel. Heaven will witness against them. Isn't that amazing? The starry heaven. When the Lord made the universe and set all these planets and stars in their courses, you know what? They hold those courses. They hold the courses that God set them in. They'd never think about breaking God's decree. Only Israel did that. The sun, He commands the sun to rise. Does it ever disobey Him? It's always obedient. The moon comes up and it goes down. The seasons, spring and summer and fall and winter, obey His decrees. And they're going to bear witness against this nation of their rebellion and disobedience against God. And then He says, hear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And the very next verse says this. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know. They are willingly ignorant, because listen to this. My people doeth not consider. And here the poor old ox is. The poor old dumb ox. All he's fit for is to fatten him up and eat him. But he's going to bear witness against the children of Israel. He says, I know my crib. You fellas don't know your God. And the poor dumb ass that's fit for nothing but to bear a burden. What does he say? I'm going to rise and judge you fellas. I'm going to condemn you guys. I'm going to bear witness against you because I know my master and you don't know yours. I tell you, there's going to be a lot of witnesses against the children of Israel. These people that God brought out of the land of Egypt and through the desert and give them this land. The witnesses that is already set to witness against this people and their rebellion. The Lord Jesus sent His disciples out to preach in the towns of Israel. And here's what He said to them. If they refuse to hear, shake off the dust of your feet as a witness against them. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for them in that day. The dust is going to rise up to witness against the children of Israel. The Jews kept arguing with the Lord Jesus when He confronted them about their sins. They said, we have no sin. You must be talking to somebody else. We have no sins. He said, you're of your father the devil. And they said, you have a devil yourself. You're a Samaritan yourself. And here's what Christ told those men. He said, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with you and shall condemn you. I mean, here's everybody rising to be a witness. The starry heavens, the sun and the moon, who obey their Creator. And now the dust of the earth and these heathen nations will rise up and condemn them in that day because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And a greater than Jonah is here. And He said, even the queen of the south, how far did she live away from Jerusalem? But she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And they wouldn't listen to Christ. But He says she's going to judge you in the last day. And she's going to condemn you. Because she came from a far country to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And a greater than Solomon is here. I tell you, this people was blessed with privileges above any nation of the world. But I tell you, they were more cursed. And judgment fell upon this people more than anywhere else. Anyone else. And the Lord calls heaven and earth to bear record against them. It seems like the more advantages we have, the more responsible we are in it. The more advantages we have, the more responsible we are. You know something? I think I'd rather been born somewhere in the dark jungles of the rainforest and never heard the name of Jesus Christ, never heard the gospel, never had anything but the light of nature, than to live here where everybody's got a Bible and where the gospel is yet preached and we have so much light and so many spiritual privileges and liberties. I'd rather live in that jungle and die there is to live here and die lost. Wouldn't you? And die lost. That's what He said to the children of Israel. Listen what He said to them in His day. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them that are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under your wing, under her wings, and you would not. Now your house is left unto you desolate. I don't know if God is ever going to save that nation or not. I really don't know. They're gathering back over there now. There's millions of them going back to that land. I don't know if He's gathering those people back over there to save them with the gospel or destroy them. I don't know. But I know this much. If He's going to save them with the gospel, He's going to confront them with this song. And if He saves them, they're going to look back at their forefathers from that generation that come out of Egypt all the way up until this present generation. And all they're going to see is a nation that was rebellious against God from the very beginning. I don't see any evidence yet that God's going to save those people. And I tell you why. You don't see any confession of sins. You don't see any brokenness in that whole nation. Before, when the Lord turned them back to Himself, here's the way they prayed. Oh, God of heaven, we have sinned with our fathers and done abomination in Thy sight. Do you see that nation doing that? When the Lord turns them to Himself, if He does, that's the way you'll see them praying. But until then, I can't believe He's going to save them, can you? I hope He does. I hope He does. But this is one of the, and has been, the most stiff-necked and uncircumcised nation this world has ever known. And one of the reasons the rebellion has been so great and the judgment has been so severe upon them is because of the light that God gave them. He gave them the gospel in types, in promises, in prophecies. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. And He gave them the law plainly on tables of stone, and they would not obey it. What they did was condemn everybody else with it and justified themselves simply because they could quote the law. And they brought such shame and reproach upon the name of God, did they not? In Romans chapter 2, Paul said, you teach a man should not steal, and you steal yourself. You teach a man should not commit adultery, and yet you're living in it. You teach that you should not worship idols, but you guys are worshiping idols. And then he said, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now, here in our text, back here in chapter 32, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Now, you might think that this song begins like I begin. It's been harsh and hard, ain't it? And you'd think this song would begin that way, just like I did. You corruptors, you blasphemers, you hard-hearted rebels, The judgment of God is ready to fall upon you and condemn you to the lowest hell. You think it would begin with this violence. But you know the song don't begin that way at all. The verses I read unto you, it begins so tranquil. It begins so peaceful. You know why? Because it begins with God. It begins with God. If it had begun with them, it would have begun pronouncing judgment upon them. If you and I begin with man and his corruption and his unfaithfulness and his sinning, I tell you, it's the most discouraging and disgusting thing in this world. Is it not? But when we begin with God, we begin with Him, then things are tranquil. Things are peaceful. Over and above our fallen humanity and what we've done and what we are and all the disgust of it, there's a peace, there's a tranquility, there's a safe haven to be found for a burdened soul and a solid place to stand when the world seems to be sinking in the great abyss of sin and death, but it's found outside of ourselves. It's found outside of this world and apart from this world and its temporal advantages. It's found apart from this world's religion, outside of fleshly convictions and preferences. It's found in God our Savior. The first four verses didn't say a thing about them, did it? It began with Him. With Him. The Jews brought this charge against the Lord all the way through the Bible, even in the New Testament. They brought this charge against the Lord. You're too hard. You're too hard. Your ways are too hard, and your doctrine is too hard. You're just too hard. We can't serve you. We don't want to serve you. You're too hard. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And what did they say? That's too hard. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? What does God say about His doctrine? Well, He says here in verse 2, it's like the rain. It's like the rain. Not the stinging rain. Not the floods carried everything before it. But look here in verse 2 what He said about it again. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew. You know anything that's violent about the dew? Don't it drop so easy? Comes during the night and you get up the next morning, it didn't come shaking the place and wake you up. It fell so easy during the night. And my doctrine is as the small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the rain. Nothing is said here about a violent flood. Nothing is said about the muddy gully washers that they get over in West Virginia or the driving, blistering rains. Everything here is gentle. It comes so easy. It's easy as the earth drinking in the rain that falls upon it. That's His doctrine, His teaching, His Word. The words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is calculated to do the same thing for our hearts as the rain does for the earth and the tender herbs and the grass. What does it do when the rain comes? It softens the earth, does it not? It waters the tender herbs. It gives nourishment to the grass and makes it grow. The earth which drinketh in the rain that comes oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessings from God. That's what the Word does. Some won't open their Bibles and read it. And you know why? They are scared to death of the one that wrote it. And the devil has convinced them that he's hard. You don't want to have anything to do with him now. He's hard. They fear that the burden of the Word will be so great they can't bear it. Or they fear that they'll read a commandment there that will be so hard it'll grieve them in an attempt to keep it. None of these things are so, brothers and sisters. They're just not so. Don't we read of the gentleness of Christ? Don't we read that He's meek and lowly in His heart? Don't we hear Him say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light"? Don't we read that His commandments are not grievous? Didn't King David say, "I rejoice at Thy word as they that findeth great spoils"? Wasn't grievous to him, was it? Wasn't burdenous to him. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. No matter what condition we're in, what circumstances we find ourselves under, the doctrine of God is calculated to come right down in the midst of our situation and direct us and correct us and do us good. And it does it so gently, like the rain coming down from heaven to water the earth. When our hearts are opened by the Word to see the plague of our hearts, is that a bad thing? Some people won't listen to preaching that describes man's depravity. That's too hard. They won't read the Bible that opens their heart up to what they are. And if you want to know what you are, open this book. It don't have anything good to say about us, does it? In our nature and in our sin. But why does the Lord open up our heart? To burden us and just afflict us? No. He opens up our hearts to its plague and its spread in leprosy to show us the fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. When the Word shows us that we failed in ourselves, it's only to show us that without Him we can do nothing. Is that not a joyful teaching? Is that not a wonderful, easy doctrine to receive? I have no trouble with that, do you? How often have I utterly failed, and I went home weeping, and the Lord dried my tears by telling me, "Bruce, did I not tell you, without me you can do nothing? You went in your own strength. Go in my strength." And that gives me joy. That's like rain coming from heaven upon the mown grass. If He shows us our utter weakness and our helplessness, it's only to bring us to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If He calls on us to carry a burden and it seems heavy, it's only to prove that His grace is sufficient for us. There's nothing, brothers and sisters, in the Word of God, in His doctrine, about Himself or us, our creation, our providence, our salvation, nothing that will put upon us an undue burden. It's so easy. Haven't you found it that way? I tell you, it's so easy for the thirsty heart. It's easy for the broken heart. It's easy for the willing heart. It's easy for the believing heart. His doctrine is easy. And if I come before you tonight and I say, "Man, this is hard. His Word is hard. He's hard. His ways are hard." You know something? Heaven would bear witness against me. "Bruce, you're wrong. We've obeyed our Creator for years. We delight to do His will. And here you're burdened by it. You're wrong." Earth would rise up against me. The little ant would rise up and say, "Come and watch me, you sluggard. I prepare for the winter." No, His ways aren't hard because He's not hard. His doctrine is not hard. It's like the rain coming from heaven, softening, bringing forth fruit. Let me ask you this question. Have you found the Lord Jesus Christ to be too hard? Have you? It's only got hard when you've left Him. Is that not right? It's only got difficult when you don't abide in Him and in His strength. That's when it gets hard. When is His commandments get grievous? When you've got this rebellion flaring up in your heart. But when you love Him and abide in His love, isn't His commandments sweet? Yes, they are. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. That's what He's telling the children of Israel. And they said, oh, you're too hard. Your doctrine's too hard. Your way's too hard. Yes, when you're over there worshiping your idols. When you leave the living God and His service and His worship and His Word and you go to worship these other gods, oh, it gets unbearably hard. That's what He's telling them. That's what He called heaven and earth to witness against them. Now leave that and go one more place with me. Look over in Isaiah chapter 55. There's nothing in this world, I guess, that's more mysterious than the Word of God. And it's because He accomplishes His work, His will by it. That's what He's working by today. Now, if you're one of those fellas, I hope you're not. If you are, that's all right. Just don't let this ever happen again. If you're one of those persons that keep saying, God told me. God told me to do this and God told me to do that. Please don't do that anymore. If He speaks to you and tells you to do something, be sure and write it down because that's inspiration. That's inspired. And we'll put it in this book. He doesn't work that way, does He? He uses His Word and He accomplishes His will. He saves people by His Word. I'm not saying He can't impress upon your conscience. The Spirit of God will lead you. But you can't be saved. You won't be saved apart from this Word. Of His own will begot He us with a Word of truth. And here's what's so amazing about that. It don't come violently. It don't come sweeping and take everything before it. It don't come violently and press you down and conquer your heart. It don't come that way. Elijah was up in a cave and this wind came through. But God wasn't in the wind. And the earthquake turned the rocks up and busted them. God wasn't in the earthquake. What was He in? That still, small voice. And here's what's so amazing about this. God is working in this world right now. He's working in hearts right now. But He's doing it so secretly. It's just like the dew that you find on the grass in the morning. And you say, how did that get there? But it's there, isn't it? And it's the same way with the Word. He takes His Word. And He secretly, almost secretly, sows it in your heart. And it brings forth fruit. And sometimes you don't even know how. But there it is, working. And it's not only working, it's working irresistibly. Look what He says in this familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 55 and look in verse 10. He's talking about the same thing as our text was talking about. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now that's what it does. I mean, it starts right from the beginning. You've got the little tiny seed that you can't even hardly see, and it's down in the ground, and here you got the rain and the dew that waters that little seed. It grows up, becomes a stalk, then it's got an ear and all these grains on it, and people begin to eat and feed off of it. That's amazing how that happens, isn't it? Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now, I'll be honest with you. He don't always send it for salvation. Here's the fearful thing about setting under the gospel. It's a savor of death to some people. Some people hear it and they say, I won't have that. I hate that. I hate the God that describes. I don't want anything to do with that Jesus. Away with Him. That word has accomplished His task. It's come and you've hardened your heart against it and sealed your own eternal doom. But has it failed? It hasn't, had it. It hasn't. And then it's a savor of life. It comes to the heart. And it tenders the heart. And causes that seed to sprout and grow and spring up into life everlasting. And none of that's done in a violent way. None of it's done like a big thunderstorm. It's all done in the secret recesses of the heart with the Word working there. I hope I never go to attend a worship service. I hope I never read this Bible without whispering to God in prayer, oh, make this like rain from the heavens upon my heart. Soften my heart. Water my soul with Your Word. Cause it to work in me to bring forth fruit. And I think that's a good prayer. If God hears it, I tell you, He'll start springing up. Read it, brothers and sisters. Read it. Don't be afraid of God's Word. If you're here and you're lost, don't be afraid of His Word. Open it and asking Him to open your heart to it. And read it. And read it. And read it. And saturate your soul with it. And pray that He had blessed it to your heart. And it would indeed bring forth fruit. We'll begin there next week, Lord's willing. We'll go through that song. Okay? Brother Larry, would you dismiss us?